So hi, Francisca, and I will have, of course, some questions for you to start with. And then my first question is for Matt. I know you're working with lighting designers a lot and more on the design side. So I think the hard question is for you, especially coming from our topic, that and I think I already presented it, like these health and comfort aspects. How do you think they are aligned, or are they contradicting with the ongoing decarbonization? And what is your difficult challenges?
I mean, one way to think about it is, I mean, what you showed and what a lot of research has showed is that there's definitely health and perception and well-being benefits to having daylight in spaces and views out, and that's been demonstrated. I think when we think about it from a decarbonization standpoint, the best building, purely thinking from decarbonization, probably has no windows, from an operational energy. So there's an inherent conflict between letting light in, letting views in, and minimizing carbon and energy use. And I think as designers, as architects, we have to weigh those things and come up with a solution that arrives at the sort of best optimized condition for the place. I think just, you had the slide of that approach, saw that design iterator thing. Was it you that had that? Where it's
I
like
didn't show
the,
any slides.
oh, sorry, it wasn't, it was Brandon. Some, oh no, it was, sorry, it was in the introduction. Somebody had a slide that showed like all the different factors that you're analyzing, and like it was all these lines and like picking the line that's sort of the best. So that's kind of the task that we have. We can't just focus on one thing. And I mentioned context. In the process, like understanding the context of the project, of the building, and what your talk kind of reminded me of was a project that I was involved in at the Empire State Building. This was probably about 15 years ago. We did an office fit out for Skanska, the contracting company, and it was actually one of the. There's a long, complicated story as to why, but it's more. It, at the time, it was one of the only full floor fit outs in the Empire State Building, and they used that as a test case to demonstrate the cost impacts of doing a LEED Platinum design versus baseline design, and actually found, based on energy use after construction, that it was cost effective to do these sustainability measures to go LEED. One of the interesting things that we found was, because it was a historic space, or historic building, the only option for shading on windows was roller shades interior to the windows. And what's interesting about the Empire State Building, where it is in Manhattan, it's a very tall building, obviously, but there's not a lot of other very tall buildings right around it. So the views from it are really good because there's nothing in the immediate area. You're seeing like wide swaths of Manhattan. And we had a discussion with them about roller shades, and the sort of typical recommendation that we would say is to really optimize daylight and to optimize energy use, you'd want to have motorized shades so that, say, an east-facing window, when the sun is not out or when it comes around the building around noon and there's no longer sun coming into that space, the shades automatically raise. And they said, no, we don't need motorized shades because the view is so good. As soon as the glare condition passes, they're gonna manually raise the shades. And so that was like a sort of deep understanding of that site, that particular space, which thinking of embodied carbon saved, it saved cost, it saved energy, it saved embodied carbon, wiring motors for shades. So part of this is like really, I guess what I'm getting at is understanding the context of the site is really critical to all of these things, and views are a really big part of it. I don't know if that answers your question, but
And that's a really interesting point, and also highlights the common sense that Helen was mentioning, that of course the regulations are not there, but at least the common sense is there. We are a little bit ahead. To continue the discussion, I think I will go to Brandon. Like, you are also dealing with a similar situation, and what do you think are the most prominent aspects of qualitative or human part or human health aspects that are relevant to your work, or you can argue for, and you can align it with the decarbonization objectives? What are your selling points when it comes to this?
My opening remarks, I said, you know, if we're not going to build great buildings, why build? And it, in some ways, it comes back to that. The point that has been made a few times about not having any windows would be the least carbon impact. Well, it's not the least carbon impact if we tear down the building, because no one likes it. And so if you start with the framework that we need to build buildings that people love and care for and want to maintain, that the investment of carbon investment in those buildings is in many ways the most important part of that equation. So if you prioritize enjoyment, then you, instead of starting with carbon, you start with enjoyment, you quickly come to views, daylight, wellness, health, employee retention, salaries, cost per square foot of person, like all these other metrics of success that are not the way you wouldn't get to those same things if you started with carbon. In fact, I think it was you cited the Lisa Heshong recent book, the what was it? Daylight, Visual Delight. Her Lisa's early research in daylight said she expected to go into an office building with a bunch of experts and say, this is how much daylight, these are the kinds of glare conditions that people like, don't like, you know, these are the metrics that we should care about. And after doing the study, realized that the daylight, the traditional daylight metrics of glare and illuminance and daylight autonomy, that those weren't things people reacted to. It was all views.
Mm-hmm.
People felt that they had good daylighted space when they had better views. Nothing to do with the actual illuminance or glare. I think those were secondary, tertiary components, but views were by far the most important, which is counterintuitive and a little disappointing to all of us who have spent so much time worrying about comfort and daylight availability. But it points to part of the sort of collective industry research that hasn't been done yet, of that which is important for your subtask. Obviously, it's sort of reinforces. We need a better understanding of what people appreciate about daylighted spaces. We need to understand better and be able to quantify the impact of views. Which I would, small parentheses here, this what you presented for Cisco was phenomenal. And I just really want to commend you, because what you presented was an order of magnitude more complex and deeper than what most people are considering relative to views. The beginning framework of view access, view maintenance, ability to have a view, and view clarity, like those three things, is what everybody seems to be stuck on. And this question of like what people appreciate about a view and what actually is sort of therapeutic about a view is really the heart of it, that I think you're going a long way to answering, or at least getting to a point where we can start to consider it at least. But I was, it was so great to see that what you're working on, we had tried to do a similar study. This is us as a private office, not as a research organization. We tried to do this in 2017. We had a specific client who was really worried about employee views and employee retention. And we recognized very quickly that it was about how many people had access to a view, what was the quality of the view, and how often they had the view relative to shades and things like what Matt was talking about. But over and above that, from an employee retention standpoint, it was how often would someone who's coding look up and do these micro glances from their monitor to the outside? And that depended on how interesting the view was, how dynamic the view is, what changes over time you had. So if you just had a unchanging view in a alley, it was a very different proposition than if you saw clouds or sun or different luminance, et cetera. So we tried to do a similar study that you did. We got nowhere near as close as what you presented. And I think it's even more complex than what you're talking about, because you also, and you alluded to this as well, you're looking at the lightness, that the L channel, you called it, and that may not be the right thing. You're recognizing it could be something else. And I think there just needs to be a lot more research into why exactly that is. Final thing I would note here, sorry, I'm rambling here. We are in a beautifully daylit space right now. Every single light, except for the two that have never been on, are on. And the dimming levels, don't believe, have been changed. You correct me if your collected experts think this is different, but as I've been looking at these, I don't think it's changing, which means that it's also not proof.
I love that sensitivity to this. This is what I notice all the time, and it bothers me so much. So, thank you for this. And I would like to ask the audience: would you have any questions related to this topic that you'd like to bring? Yes, please.
Hi. I'm Luis, Lens Arno researcher here. Just a very quick comment. I just want to push back on, I keep hearing the building with no windows is the most emissions efficient. Given the ratio between operational energy and embodied energy in windows, I would say that a building with no electricity or gas is the most it is the most efficient. So, you know, buildings are for people like windows, so they're going to have windows and restrooms. And, let me push back a little bit on that.
Yeah, but I guess that the issue is like when you want to argue this with the building owner and the investor, and then that becomes the problem with lower down cost. And of course, these kind of arguments work to a certain stage, but then at some point you're like stuck with the arguments.
So I think this is why from a building code level, human health and well-being needs to be coded in, not just the acute life safety issues. Mm. You know, we've tried doing that in the US. There was a proposal to require classrooms to be daylit and nurseries daylit to be there was a proposal to change the International Building Code to include that, and it was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
By including by the architects. AIA voted against it, interestingly.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting, this whole issue of view, right? So, like, people that go to a restaurant, oh, can I have a table near the water, right? I get a hotel, I want the view, right? Everybody wants the view wherever they go, right? So we know that, right? But it's also interesting to see what threshold does somebody want the view? Like, it was a question of cost. Like, if you went to a restaurant and said, I want the view. Oh, yeah, we have the tables at the window, but that's a $20 surcharge. Okay, I'll take the window over here. I mean, the seat over here. So I just wonder if there's any research to be done like that. And then the other one that makes, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, we talk about these artificial views, right? So let's say somebody actually had a display that was really well done with high quality that made it look like a window, and it was the view of the other side of the building of, like, showing, you know, in this case, let's say the Golden Gate Bridge in downtown San Francisco, right? You show that view. Do people accept that? Do they don't accept it? I mean, I'm just like this whole issue of the value proposition, right? But at the end of the day, how does that relate back to energy, right? right? Because we could argue that, you know, windows for passive solar, you know, we can have a building that's more higher performing with some glazing than a building without glazing. The question is, where do you put the glazing? If it's a really highly insulating dynamic solar control glass, that is a really high performance window that's better than an opaque wall. So, you know, we got to be careful when we look at these things. So there's a lot of issues for research. But you know, you definitely got me thinking about, you know, where do we need to invest in some of those decisions.
The question you raise about the dollar per view quality, one, is something that comes up a lot in practice. And it comes up in two ways. One is the corner office, you know, how much is that worth? That's an easy one.
Yes.
The bigger issue, and it's the first precedent that I showed when I showed our office, was the new Google building in Sunnyvale, Mountain View, that has a big dome structure, it's about 300 feet across, housing 4,000 people on one floor plate. And every single person has a view. The question is, like during the design process, was that even possible? Because that was a high priority for the client to have make sure that everybody felt like they had a view and no one had a corner office, non-hierarchical building and company structure, but also that from anywhere within the building, you would have a view out, which then becomes a question of, well, what constitutes a viable view? And that threshold is what's much more interesting to us, is how small can it be? How uninteresting can it be? How non-dynamic can it be to make people still feel like it's worthwhile and it will help them on an hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute, second-by-second basis to concentrate, to have wellness, to get a sense of where they are in the world?
Can I make a comment? I just think going back to that idea that we can have a screen rather than a window. it worries me a bit. but
we are over time, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. But I just think it's important to, because what we're getting with the window is just not the view. And part of what Francisco was also saying, I would say, is like, if we can quantify the sky component on this, and the all of a sudden we can also understand the implications for health in terms of circadian rhythms and other things. So if you were going to just having a video of a view might give you the connection to the outside in terms of what's happening outside, not giving you the lighting, the spectrum and all that you need. So then if you're going to replace that as well, then you need the mimic daylighting plus the screen, plus the, you know, so all of a sudden the energy and the carbon goes, you know, we're having it. So I'll keep the window at that.
So I think we are at least 5 minutes. I'll just say thank you for listening, and thank you for the panel for interesting discussions.